reactors, where we add the sodium methylate, which is a catalyst that drives the reaction, and it's a reaction between methanol and the triglycerides, which are the components of fat, and the triglycerides react with the methanol to form methyl esters. So it's a chemical reaction that takes place, and the primary reason for doing that is it changes the viscosity of the material so that it's more like diesel fuel and is able to burn in a conventional diesel engine. You can see in these samples right here, now this is room temperature. This is our feedstock that we're using. This is technical tallow. It comes from cattle, and it can be used in a very similar form as an edible material. McDonald's used to cook their french fries in tallow prior to all the concerns with cholesterol and saturated fats, and so then they went to vegetable oils. But this material is nearly a food-grade material. It's very clean. It's used for soaps, detergents, cosmetics. It has a tremendous number of uses. One misconception a lot of people have are that all animal fats are waste products. They're not. They're co-products. They have other uses. Making biodiesel out of them is just one additional use that has come to play. But we're not taking this stuff out of a landfill. There are some materials that do go to landfills, such as trap grease, some of the really low-grade materials. But what we use is a really high-grade animal fat that does have other uses. But you can see it's solid at room temperature. It comes in here at about 160 degrees Fahrenheit in the tanker truck, and we pump it off into our storage tanks, and we keep it in insulated tanks that are heated so that it stays liquid. When this turns solid, it doesn't go through a pipe very well, so we keep it warm because it's not fun cleaning the lines out. We got a couple of samples that I'll show you. When we come through the first reactor, we go to what we call a settling tank, and those are the big, long, horizontal tanks that we walk past as we were coming in. We start over in that corner. We phase separate the glycerin. The glycerin is the main co-product that comes from biodiesel, and you see it already settling out here in this bottom phase. So it'll just naturally settle out by gravity because it is a polar compound, whereas the methyl esters are nonpolar compounds, and so you have just a nice gravity separation that takes place. It can also be done with centrifuges to speed it up. We use just the gravity and time from using the settling tanks. This is the glycerin that comes off the process. Now, it's a crude glycerin. Glycerin is used in a lot of, again, pharmaceutical applications, food applications, but it's a very highly refined glycerin that's used in those. This is a crude glycerin. Still has some soaps that come from the process, and you can see it starting to gel up and turn solid. That's a characteristic of glycerin that comes from animal fat. I call this a co-product and not a waste product. Why? Because it has other uses. It doesn't go to a landfill. Specifically, the glycerin from our plant, we send it to a facility in Texas that anaerobically digests it and produces biogas. They clean that up, and it's essentially natural gas that is put into the gas pipelines. So even our co-products turn to fuel in our application. When we get through the settling from the first stage reaction, we go through a second stage, and it's just to ensure a complete reaction. After the second stage, we go through some more settling tanks. After the final settling tank, we go across a material. It's a dry wash material. It's an ion exchange resin, and they're little small plastic beads. And these green columns over to the left are filled with this material. So we'll flow the biodiesel after it's come out of the settling tanks across this, and this removes the residuals, the soaps, which are formed as a byproduct, and glycerin that doesn't completely phase separate. There's still some of it that's somewhat dissolved in. That'll be removed in this material. And it primarily cleans up the biodiesel. The only thing that's remaining at that point is a little bit of excess methanol. That's one of the chemicals that we use to drive the reaction. Well, we feed it in excess to ensure a complete reaction. And when you do that, you have to remove it in order for it to meet the finished fuel spec, because we don't like driving around with methanol in our fuel tanks because it's very corrosive on the fuel systems. And we have somebody here that's very knowledgeable, and that I saw him shaking his head. Definitely you want the methanol out. So we have this little skid piece of equipment that's back over to the left here. That is what we call a methanol removal unit. It's basically a distillation column, a little small one. that removes the methanol from the finished fuel. Once that takes place, then this is our finished biodiesel. So you can see, again, the primary thing that we're trying to accomplish is changing the viscosity from something very thick, not very good to use as a fuel, to something that looks very much like diesel fuel, blends with diesel fuel very well, very clean, clear material. So again, this is made from 100% beef tallow. For 2008, our first year of operation, we used a little bit of soybean oil, we used some poultry fat, some pork fat, and beef tallow. For 2009, we used almost exclusively beef tallow. We did use maybe a few truckloads of lard, which is an edible grade of pork fat. I'm sure some of y'all are familiar. I mean, it's used for cooking as well, not nearly as much as it used to be, but it looks very much like the technical tallow. It's a very clean, clear, light color material.
But you guys can use pretty much any of that stuff. So how do you determine the quality stays the same using one byproduct?
That's a good question. We can't use just any fat. We do have some limitations. We're able to take in some of the inedible fats, the lower grade fats, and clean up a certain level of impurities. But one of the main impurities that can be in animal fats are free fatty acids. It's just a natural breakdown product of fats. The really clean technical material like this, very low in FFA. Some of the other animal fats has a higher FFA level, and that represents a yield loss. So those fats can be a little bit cheaper, but if you don't have the process to fully utilize that, then it ends up as an expense for you because you might get a 90% yield instead of 100% yield out of that material. So when you look at the yield-adjusted cost of it, it may or may not be cheaper. And those markets change because there are a lot of different uses for these fats. And so we basically, just based on what the market price is, that determines what we use. But it's also kind of a quality issue. There are some materials that we used in 2008 early on that we don't use now because there is a new standard, the cold soak filtration standard for biodiesel. And with some of the lower grade animal fats that we were able to process in 2008, it's much more challenging to meet the cold soak specification with those fats. So we do not use those materials. So it's a cost and a quality driven issue.
I was wondering some of the national trends as far as feedstock.
We're typically about 70% soy here in the U.S. That's analogous to like rapeseed in Europe. They use about 70% of rapeseed in Europe. The rest comes from animal tallows. We see some choice white grease, which is pork. Choice white grease, which is